You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alrighty, welcome to the Celtics Hub Podcast, brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive fantasy basketball partner of the CLNS Media Network. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out the How About Them Celtics Podcast, the first of the four podcasts, and the many other New England sports podcasts available on the CLNS Media Network. I'm your host, Cameron Tuchibai. I'm joined by Alex Goldberg and Dr. Justin Quinn, and we're recording, I don't know, like a half an hour after Boston dropped Game 2 to the Miami Heat, 111-101 at home. Fellas, we got a series, and what we would like to do today is talk about what happens next. So, Alex, I know that you're not happy with how the Celtics played. Justin, I know you're disappointed with how the Celtics played. So let's chew the fat about Game 2 very quickly, and then identify what Boston needs to do to win Game 3 and beyond. Justin, you're disappointed. Tell us.
Yeah, so I do believe I'm in a prior episode, I made a point of saying I don't want to see a certain type of old habits, iso ball, lack of defensive focus, defensive lapses, etc., etc. We don't need to rehash all that good stuff. Everyone literally knows what I'm talking about. Or the series will be longer than it needs to be because they will lose a game if they do that, and they did that.
Yeah, they got punked. Alex, you're angry or sad. I guess I don't know.
I mean, I think what it comes down to is this. I have a lot of takes that I can fire off about this loss, including some pretty inept performances by some big acquisitions from the offseason who were much ballyhooed and failed quite significantly. Some incredibly poor choices by our supposed two-star players who were supposed to carry them to a win and blew it. Our much improved head coach who failed to make adjustments. I am happy to go into all of that, but instead I am simply going to say this. The Celtics did not play with the urgency or physicality of a team that is going to be sniffing a finals appearance, much less a title win. It was a pathetic loss. If they don't win this series in five, I would fully expect them to have another disappointing postseason exit. There's not a whole lot more to say. It was about as stupid a loss as possible. And the one thing I'm going to just throw out there, because I've been seeing this take flying around a lot, we cannot just chalk this loss up to bad shooting variance.
No,
Celtics did not play with any sort of urgency or force on the defensive end. They jogged around thinking that they could just walk into a win against a team that was better coached, better prepared, and executed better. They were punished for it. And now we have a series that really should not be a series. So, feeling good, feeling great, happy to be here.
Yeah, what Alex you're referring to is Miami hit 23 three-pointers, which is a franchise best and fourth best in NBA postseason history. Last time we talked, I said that I don't have the same like fear or anger towards Miami that I guess other people do. And let me say this really clearly, like I have financial stake in the Celtics doing well. Like my professional life is materially worse if Boston loses. Like, with respect to Celtics fans, like I might have more on the line than the average person here. That being said, I want to take a different tact. This was a masterclass from Miami. This was an unbelievable, great game from Miami. Early on, they were hitting open threes. Boston's defense was pretty poor. But in the second quarter, anyways, Boston was much more physical and they were still hitting threes. I want to give credit to Bam Adebayo. That's a huge shift in this series. I don't think we anticipated. No one can guard him on the Celtics. And I think part of why Boston was so open was because Bam was creating so much gravity on the defensive end. I mean, Horford had a few stops. Porzingis did not. I'm really interested in how good Bam can be for this Heat team. I don't know if Tyler Herro is going to grab whatever he had, 14 rebounds again, but that was a brilliant, really great execution from what I think was a daring game design from Miami. So
I don't disagree either. The way that they disrupted the so-called safety valve of Kristaps, I mean, yeah, sure, we can point to the lack of urgency, is not really, like, effort is kind of that word I'm looking for, but just the easiest way to say it is what the Heat did to the Celtics once again capitalized on their really only glaring weakness, which is, if you get them out of the rhythm, if you make them play grimy physical ball, they forget everything that got them where they are. And we're going to talk about adjustments shortly, but I mean, like, that's just something they have to figure out. We can't tell them how to do it. There is no magical way to do it. There is no schema. It's an effort and focus thing. And they need to play like they need to come down from 20 the whole damn game, right? Because this level of effort, like, it's being generated by what Miami's doing. We need to give them credit. But on the other side of it, it's an eminently solvable problem for them.
I just want to jump in here really quick to say, Eric Spoelstra is an excellent coach. Miami is a team full of guys who try really hard and execute basketball at a high level. We knew that heading into the series. Everybody knew that heading into the series. Except for apparently the Boston Celtics, who thought that they could just jog into this with talent overwhelming and win. And that is not a sign of a mature team that is ready to win a title. I'm sorry. It's just not. Like, sure, give all the credit to Eric Spoelstra. Give all the credit to Miami in the world. They played well. They deserve to win. But Boston is the more talented team. They should have won this game. If they give even slightly better than maybe a 40% level of effort, they do win this game. This is a pathetic loss. They need to get it together or else this series is going to drag out and they are not going to make the finals.
Wow, the Celtics had 8 blocks and 9 steals. I mean, I agree. Like, it is reductive to say it was the shooting. Like, to riff on Bill Clinton, it's the shooting, stupid. But first of all, it is one of the strongest predictive stats we have in modern basketball. And second, like, Boston really did play Miami statistically even on the glass, turnovers. They got to the free throw line more, although they missed a number of kind of important free throws. Boston did not shoot well from three. I think that's important. They were 12 from 32. So interesting parity in game one. Boston sets a franchise record with 22 three-pointers. And then in game two, Miami sets a franchise record with 23 three-pointers. So yeah, I Alex, you're right. It is too simple to say, like, oh, it was the three-pointers. But it also, like, the data is really loud that maybe it is the three-pointers. But we can talk about, like, how Boston avoids that. So let's set the table. And I'm at home with COVID, so my thoughts just, like, trail off. It's because my brain doesn't work. So let's try this. The next game is Saturday in Miami. And then the game after that would be Monday in Miami. And then game five would be back in Boston on Wednesday. Dr. Quinn, does that sound right?
I think so. I have thoughts. May I?
Sure. So let's, you could be as laser focused on this game three or just, like, for the series at large, go.
I mean, this is going to apply, but they have to do this every game, right? So it's going to apply for future games beyond game three. But if I can't remember exactly what it was near the end of the season, which game it was, but they gamified the end of the season, an end of season game to give it meaning, right? And it seems that they, they need to do this evidently to motivate themselves against this team, which, once again, we are dealing with the same stuff, right? So if they can't find it in just a normal mental approach to the game, they need to figure out an approach mentally to the game that will give them the requisite level of energy they need to be bringing to defense, the level of focus they need, the level of physicality they need. Like, it was there in this game, but it was not consistent, and it was easily broken up. Anytime the Celtics started getting a rhythm, it was easy to break them up. So they need to utterly avoid ISO play. I do not want to see any goddamn Kobe fadeaways in the next game. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see any. They should not even be at the end of the game needing a Kobe fadeaway because they should be up by 20. That's really the sum of it.
All right, let's pause the action and talk about our friends over at PrizePicks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players, because Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. Prize Picks even has injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. It's been one of my favorite parts of using Prize Picks, and my favorite way to feel safe when I get in on the action and ensure that everything that I'm mulling over for that night's slate of games is ship shape. So download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100.
Even on those ISO plays, like, they're frustrating in the postseason, but this was also kind of like, there is an element that it just wasn't their night. Like, in short order, Porzingis caught Caleb Martin alone in the post, shot over him, which has been like an absolute aces shot this season, didn't fall. Later on the fast break, Tatum caught Duncan Robinson, put him in the post. We've been praising Tatum for doing that. Couldn't get the shot to fall. So I totally agree. I not for a second agitated for more Celtics ISO, but there were elements where like they got the ISOs that you would have wanted them to get, and they.
Yeah, I agree. But let's also not pretend that what the Heat is doing or were doing wasn't affecting their level of confidence and the fluidity of their play. They need to find a way to just power through that. If they need to slap each other in the dressing room before they come out so they all get really pissed, do it. I don't know what they need to do to maintain the focus, but if they don't, this is not the last time we're going to see this, and it's going to end the way it has ended in the past.
I have a suggestion. How about they figure out whether they're going to be switching on screens or sticking on screens?
Yeah.
Something that, for whatever reason, they can't seem to get right against this Miami team. And it has resulted in now Miami Heat shooting in their last five, in four of their last five games against the Boston Celtics, Miami Heat have shot franchise records from the three-point line. Joe Mazzulla, we've heard a lot about you being a vaunted defensive coach and about the Celtics' ironclad defensive system pumping out great numbers every year, defending a three every year.
Where was it?
How you were so responsible for this big run in 2022 behind the scenes, implementing this roving, switching defense that was so effective at running people off the three-point line. Why is it that it continuously falters against this Miami team? That's the thing that stood out to me. So Bam Adebayo is the best illegal screener in the game. And I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah,
that guy totally. Is dragging his feet. He's spreading his arms super wide. He's getting in people's faces. He's getting in the way. And he's knocking dudes down. The Celtics' response to that cannot be throwing up your hands and begging the refs to call it. Because they're not going to. They've never called it. They will never call it. That's not going to happen. What they could do is figure out whether they're going to switch, which would make reasonable amount of sense, and force Miami to actually drive the ball and score at the rim, something they haven't had to do all series. Or they could stick with screens using two of the best screen navigators in the NBA, supposedly in Derek White and Jrue Holiday, or trying to blow up those screens and go under them, something like that. Really anything other than what they're currently doing, which is getting smushed and throwing up their hands, begging for illegal screen calls. Again, that is not going to happen. So the same thing keeps happening against this Miami team. They get open for threes because they drag the Celtics around on defense, and Bam sets a million illegal screens a game and dares the refs to call it. They're not going to. Boston needs to adjust and get that right. And if they don't get that right, this series is going to drag out to seven games. Somebody is going to get hurt, and they are going to lose in the conference finals.
Yep.
The whole run into this podcast, I was in our DMs saying, like, we need to podcast well. Like, we need to think about SEO. We need to think about, like, the fan experience over the next few days. And now I'm going to explain an Instagram post that Jimmy Butler did. Alex and Justin in YouTube, I don't know if you can see on my screen, Jimmy Butler photoshopped his face on Jaylen Brown using the quote from last year, "Don't let us get one." The Heat, so there is an element here where, like, for years we've been wondering if, you know, the Celtics are either too young or too soft or something, something, something. And maybe it's a tired beat, but like when you look at the Heat, it's just, it's so clear. You could, it's not just punch them in the jaw, like punch them in their face 100 times and they don't care. They get up, they kind of like it. Same with Bam, like you could call him for 5 consecutive illegal screens. He's going to set a 6th, right?
Another one. Not even blink.
There is something unbelievably rock steady about this team that last game they played zone, this game they played man, and with light switching, they stuck with it. Boston went on a run. Tatum scored 12 in the first quarter. Jaylen Brown scored 13 in the final 3 minutes of the second quarter. Miami doesn't blink. I don't want to do the like radio guy, or Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum soft, but like if they get pushed, they don't push back in the same way.
And that is really the thing that is driving me the craziest about that, because they don't need to be out there like Kurt Rambising the opponent, but they do need to make them feel them on the defensive end, particularly when they're getting hit like this on the other end, and they're not.
One of the things that, let me put on my teacher hat here. I think teachers are meant to develop potential, not identify it. And it's Joe Mazzulla's job. I mean, how many great sports documentaries are there where it's like, and then in the postseason, they like hit a new gear and they like learned this about themselves and they came together as friends or like something like that. Like there is a, like the Celtics did need to get better in order to, if they're going to go win a title, right? Like they couldn't just moonwalk their way to Denver and then beat Denver. Like the postseason is long. It is a second season in and of itself. They need to get better throughout this postseason. So it's the worst case scenario of a learning opportunity for the Celtics, but it also, like, if you want to put on a silver lining here, like what a safe opportunity for the Celtics. It's game 2 of the first round. No, hear me out.
Not buying it.
For the people listening and not watching on YouTube, Alex and Justin did not like that take. Let me put it this way. Alex, you identified this is a worst case scenario, right? Joe didn't do it. The Jays descended into Jay madness. The other stars weren't there, et cetera, et cetera. A worst case scenario, the second game of the playoffs, when you need 16 wins, feels a lot better than like if this happened game 2 of the conference finals. You know what I mean? Like if the Celtics just steamrolled their way and then suddenly they got punked by the Knicks in the conference finals, like there is a silver lining where it's like, actually you do kind of need to get pushed around a little bit.
Counterpoint. They should know these goddamn lessons at this point. They have been to the conference finals how many times now? They should know these lessons. Yeah. The fact that they haven't learned these lessons is deeply concerning. And I'm looking forward to game 3 where they make me eat crow, and game 4 when they make me eat crow, and then game 5 when they make me eat crow, and then I will feel better again.
The reality is that they haven't earned it. They act like they have, but they haven't. And they need to prove that they are actually worthy of what they think they are as a team.
I mean, that's well said. How do you teach that, though, right? Like,
you don't. No, you
crucible.
Do it.
You crucible.
And until they earn it, we have no reason to believe that they will do it. We just don't. It doesn't matter whether they've won 64 games in the regular season. As you said,
none of us.
The playoffs are a new season in and of itself. And Boston with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and this core and, you know, these players, at no point has it proven that it is worthy of being a title team during this run. The last time they proved that they were worthy of being a title team, they had Kevin Garnett on the team. We can't have faith in this team until they show us.
Yeah. I have absolutely no argument against that. It was basically where I was going.
I'm not there yet. I mean, like, I fundamentally understand that, but I believe that the tenor and the fabric of the team is different enough that, like, Justin, to your point, you're like not mad, you're just disappointed. Like everyone expected one of these games, but I don't know. Like there was enough evidence in the regular season to suggest that they had turned a corner, but not like fully. Like the warts of the past were still there. So like last podcast, I was the one saying, I think Miami's going to get one. So I'm fundamentally not surprised, but I don't think it's an indictment of the Celtics.
It's not the loss. It's the way they lost.
Oh, totally.
Right?
But I completely agree. And to be clear, I thought Miami was going to get one as well. It's the way they lost.
Yeah, I mean, 40 points in the second half is pretty tough. I just, 23 for 43 from three is a miracle. Like, that's never going to happen again. Like, maybe in our lifetime. Like, that might be the best three-point shooting performance we've ever seen. And it's the fourth.
Did we not see a historic three-point shooting percentage from the Miami Heat in the 2023 Eastern Conference Finals?
They got 19.
That tells me it's not just them being hot.
I mean, yeah, there's a stat at something like Miami has shot over 50% from three, four times against the Celtics in the past two postseasons. Yeah, that feels friggin' preposterous. I don't understand that one, but I guess I don't know. That's also like not statistically significant data. Like, that could still be a crazy fluke.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's statistically significant if you're down 2-1, if you're down 3-1.
Yeah, there's not 200 games in your postseason.
Yeah, unfortunately. No, definitely.
Or actually, no, very fortunately.
I just mean, I think game 7 last year felt fluky. This could be fluky too. And like, just because it's the same teams, they're not necessarily like causal.
Yeah. Yeah. Science says yes, but sports fan brain says fuck that.
This is we can swear now. This is the last podcast we're supposed to think about science.
Yeah. Yeah, well, science is nice and science is great, but even the best players will say that science is a way to measure what you do, and it's what they do that matters. And what has been happening when they do it is the same outcome. So even if it's not statistically significant in terms of what actually matters at the end of the day, is they aren't getting the wins against a team that seems to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And like, we probably aren't going to get anywhere productive discussing what they can do, because it's such a nebulous thing, right? But at least we didn't swear yet until just now.
No, you did. Okay, well, I'm going to push back on that. Let's each pick one specific thing that they could do, and I have one. I'm borrowing this from the Celts of the Round Table, the other YouTube series that sometimes I do. I'd like to see more Xavier Tillman. He's fast, he's physical, he could foul. You guys shouldn't be cheering. You should be thinking of your specific thing that you can do. I said this before. I'm fearful that Al Horford had 23 minutes again tonight, so that's an average of 24 minutes a game. It's just a lot to front load the postseason. Tillman gives you a little more versatility, I think. I don't know if it solves the Bam problem. I think sincerely that's a huge problem for the Celtics. And I think it's a huge problem because if Spo is as smart as we fear him to be, he'll go away from it the next game, lull the Celtics into a state of calm, and then like bring it back when it matters more. But regardless, I think Tillman can play. I mean, he was a contributor for a real Grizzlies team in the postseason. He's not like a nice story. He's like a bona fide postseason player in the NBA.
Yeah, he's got skills.
He's also got 0 minutes played this postseason so far, and I don't really understand that. So that's my specific adjustment I'd like to see.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
I like it. You got one? Right. I got one.
Yeah, I got one. It's a pretty no-brainer adjustment, but how about we fucking cut? How about we do any cutting at all on the offensive end?
Tatum, cut. Tatum and it worked great.
Yeah, Tatum cut. And
guess twice.
He got a dunk.
Just twice.
He got a layup. I watched... in this game, Kristaps Porzingis go down to the low post and beg for the ball about 13 times, and he got shoved, he got pushed, he turned the ball over. I watched Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown go down in the post and take stupid contested fadeaways. I watched a bunch of dumb pull-up threes early in the shot clock. You know what I didn't watch was any off-ball movement at all. At least on the Celtics end. On Miami's end, I watched quite a bit of off-ball movement, and lo and behold, they got a ton of open threes that they made, and it worked. So how about, for the best offense in NBA history, we get any fucking cutting at all. Please.
That's corollary.
Genius adjustment.
My not so genius adjustment is a perfect corollary to that, which is actually something that was thought up of a man named Tommy Heinsohn many, many years ago. And you probably know where I'm going with this after watching the pace of the game. Fucking run!
Yeah, that was so annoying because that's the thing, is like Miami was the second slowest team in the league and a top five defense. Like, all they want you to do is play half court defense. And so many times Boston got a game breaker just like pushing the pace. And there were a few like kind of fluky weird plays, but yeah, I don't understand why Boston wouldn't. I mean, I guess that's a just into your specific adjustment. Like, put the ball in Drew Holiday and Derek White's hands more. Like, unless the Jays are actually pushing the pace, I would really like to see the ball handlers, you know, handle the ball. I think that that was a big problem. That
they aren't good at it, the Jays. They should stop now.
I think they're good at being a quarterback or a midfielder for a fast break.
Once it's across the court, yes, but they should not. They just get, they're so, I hate saying they're so slow getting into directions because we've been saying it for how long now?
Yeah. No, I mean, Boston smoked Miami. What is it? 46 to 26 points in the paint. Like, they were getting to the cup with so much ease at the beginning of the game. And at that, yeah, they really sat back. And that's curious. Like, I don't know if it's Missoula's job. I don't know if it's Al Horford's job. I don't know if it's Sam Cassell's job, but we had this question last year. I don't know if it's Marcus Smart's job. Like, it doesn't seem like it's in the Jays' collective toolkit to calm things down or to like reset the tenor or the vibe. And I don't know whose job it is, but like, it doesn't seem like they can do it. And I think Missoula, we learned last year, was shocked that his guys wouldn't figure things out on the fly. And he came to training camp being like, yeah, I kind of like gave him a little too much runway there. I should have interjected a little more. And, you know, Joe, I'm sure I'm not at the game right now. I'm sure he's given post-game comments like, oh, what a great battle. What a great like experience. And I know I was kind of saying as such, but it's not my job to like literally pause the game and change how things are happening. Okay, let's settle a bet. In game three, does Miami play more zone or more man?
Yes. I'll go right down the line.
Even split?
Roughly even split.
I thought tonight it was like almost all man. Is that square?
Yeah, mostly. I saw some zone from them, but not very much.
A little bit of switching here and there, yeah. Here's one thing. Like what I'm curious about is like maybe Boston like has fundamentally beaten the Miami zone, but like supposedly by way of Kristaps Porzingis, in which case they'd never go back to it. But I think
they haven't.
Yeah, they're such chess masters down there in Miami that now they're going to go to like a new type of zone. It's so fascinating. Again, like the Celtics really flushed the mouse. I thought this was such a stellar performance from Miami. I mean, Caleb Martin, I'm sorry, this is going to piss a lot of people off. What a performance from him. He was getting the Kyrie Irving treatment. People were booing him left and right. That dude was stellar. He was hitting threes. He was cutting to the basket. He played great defense.
He made me very angry, and that means he was doing good.
And you know who else is a stud? Jaime Jaquez Jr. Love that kid. Yeah, he can play. I mean, he didn't have a very efficient game, but he's not fearful of the moment, I'll tell you that much.
They don't have a counterpunch to slow Bam down yet. They need one because they tried to shut Tyler down the whole damn game, and that wasn't the game plan.
They try to shut Tyler down, they failed to do that.
Yeah.
Like, let's be clear. They tried to do whatever.
Oh, Hero had 14 assists. Sorry to cut you off, but before I give bad news, he had 14 assists, not 14 rebounds.
Yeah, they tried to shut Tyler Hero down, but that didn't work because nothing.
No, just Jason Tatum did. Yep.
The nothing that Celtics did worked on defense because they were lazy and pathetic.
I mean, it was a real. It looked a lot like Game One, just with the jerseys reversed. One team shot the ball really well and passed the ball really well, and one team was too slow on defense or unbothered on defense to make a difference.
They thought that they could just keep it close and win that game late in the fourth quarter. Well, it's not how that works in the playoffs.
I guess I have a more, and forgive me because I know I was saying let's look to game three, not only talk about game two. But I actually disagree, Alex, because in the first quarter, Tatum put like forced the issue. In the second quarter, Jaylen Brown like fundamentally got Boston a lead at halftime. I actually think that they looked like a team that understood like, oh, we can't let this moment slip by. We need to like change the register of what we're doing.
Squirrel.
Yeah, but then in the third quarter, I mean, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And then the fourth quarter looked like 3 years ago's team, like the last year of the Brad Stevens era, where like no one knew what was happening or cared to know what was happening.
You know, but what would be good for taking matters seriously and really forcing the issue and making sure to keep, you know, the urgency of the moment and not losing that momentum? How about not benching Jason Tatum when he's on an absolute heater 5 minutes into the game? I get sticking to your rotations. I get trying to, you know, manage people's minutes, blah, 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 blah. I get that. If the dude has 10 points in 4 minutes, let him cook. Let him throw the knockout blow before this even becomes a problem. Joe Mazzulla, I've defended you all year. I think you have largely done a very good job with this team, and I really have. Like, I am the biggest Joe Mazzulla defender out there. I've consistently been that for about 2 years. Read the fucking moment.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other thoughts on what to look for in game three or game four?
A win.
Just win.
Yeah, apparently easier said than done.
Is the problem.
Elsewhere in the NBA, I don't know. Pick your favorite series that you've got your eye on, and we'll talk about it. I'll set the example. I think that Pacers thing is legit. I think the lights were too bright in game one. But like, unless Giannis comes back, it's just not going to happen. Like, I just think the Pacers are too good, and Halliburton hasn't really even found his footing. So I really am a big believer in these Indiana Pacers. I think that they're about to send the Bucks home in a pretty sad way, which is spectacular. And also, like, it goes without saying, if you're a fan, shut the fuck up and don't use a racial slur. Like, how stupid are you, you bigoted idiot? But anyways, Pascal Siakam, I'm sure a lot of people owe him an apology. That's fascinating. I'm really interested in that series. Okay, Alex, Justin, what's the series you're looking at? Then we'll get out of here.
Minnesota, Phoenix. I've been a big believer in this Minnesota team all year. I think that they are really good. A lot of people thought that they would be too young for the playoffs or that this would be a bad matchup for them. They look terrific. They look like they are pound for pound one of the best teams in the league. I think they can give Denver a real fight in round two, and Denver will be in round two. Let's be clear. They've looked excellent. Rudy Gobert, listen, I owe you an apology. I wasn't familiar with your game. This is the best Rudy Gobert season I've ever seen. He's looked terrific. Defensively, he's been astonishing. And his offense has really developed. He's developed into a very nice passer and a very nice cutter. Anthony Edwards, please stop taking that many pull-up threes, because you are the most physically overwhelming athlete in the NBA. You should just attack the rim every possession. Shout out to Mike Conley, friend of the pod. He's been terrific. He's, you know, really settled down this Minnesota team when they've needed it. They have KD. We have Jalen McDaniels. He's been awesome. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, newly minted Sixth Man of the Year, Naz Reid. This Timberwolves team is extremely for real. I think they have a very, very good shot to give Denver their hardest series of the postseason.
Dig it.
So let me leave us with a little bit of perspective. It's not going to be much comfort, but maybe it'll be a tiny bit. The Celtics and the Nuggets are the two teams we all pretty much expect to see in the finals one way or another. That might not happen based on things we have seen, but there's another series going on right now, which the Denver Nuggets are in. And if not for a friendly whistle, the shot going in when it didn't, the Denver Nuggets might also be in a 1-1 series. They were as close, once again, as you can be against a team that's probably on par or about the same as the Heat. And the outcome was different, right? So there's not tons of comfort there, But a team as good as the Denver Nuggets can find themselves in a postseason series as challenged by a team roughly as talented as the Celtics find themselves now. So for everything that we just said, the playoffs are really freaking hard to win in. So let's just hope that they take that seriously moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that Jamal Murray shot was beautiful. That was so cool. Yeah, I can dig that. Okay, well, that's shout out to Jamal Murray. That's a great place for the Celtics Lab podcast to end. This episode of the Celtics Lab podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks, the exclusive fantasy basketball partner of the CLNS Media Network. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out the How About Them Celtics podcast, the First to the Floor podcast, and the many other New England sports podcasts available on the CLNS Media Network. Justin, what percentage of listeners make it to like the 95% mark?
You know, I have absolutely no idea, but for this particular episode, I'm pretty sure most of our listeners have dropped off, and I don't blame you.
Well, I was going to say, maybe I'll do this at the beginning of next episode, was we're going to have an irregular schedule because we're going to try to podcast more often during the postseason. So make sure that you are subscribed and liking and downloading so you never miss an episode, because it's not, we're coming at you. And you don't want to miss an episode. So
I like the Celtics defense. Anyway, just one game, right? Right.
I don't know. Well, how about this? If the Celtics lose, we probably emergency podcast Saturday night. If they win, we can podcast on Sunday.
We'll see you on Tuesday or whenever. Yeah.
Right. I'm not going to be able to podcast Saturday night. I'm just telling you that now.
Is that when you're in New Hampshire?
That's next weekend, but I have other stuff.
Okay. Well, Alex plays bass for a band called Divine Sweater. Check it out. Until then, good luck with it's ugly out there on NBA Twitter right now, so good luck.
Go have a beer. Get off social media. It'll be all right.
Riley is killing me slowly.